All right, let's get started this morning. Get some scriptures out. Vince, if you'll get 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6, be our first scripture there. Casey, if you'll get Deuteronomy 11, 24. Devin, if you'll get 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6, that's the second time. And then Zach, if you'll get 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. 1 Peter 4:10. So today we're going to continue our Serious Men series on concert ministry. And so started last week just looking at running a concert, things to consider for the guy that's going to be leading the night and preaching and overseeing things. But just by way of illustration, Spotify is a music podcast and video streaming service. Spotify was actually launched originally October 7, 2008. And what they did was made millions of songs available through any media device. So as of the third quarter of this year, Spotify had 144 million premium subscribers worldwide. That's up from 2019 at 113 million. So think about this. That is a large and growing community of people that is interested in music. It's interested in music. For the last 40 plus years, Prescott has utilized the concert ministry. This is something that, no matter the generation since the 70s, is something that appeals to sinners, right? 144 million premium subscribers. That's a lot of people interested in music. So you're going to hear men as you go out and pastor different areas. You're going to hear the narrative. The concert ministry just doesn't appeal to people anymore. I disagree with these numbers I just looked at, right? It does appeal to people. They are interested in music. You just don't play good music, so that's why they're not interested. Right? So, no, but really is here is that it is absolutely relevant and current, the concert ministry is. It's relevant and current. And so I want to look today at concert ministry rationale. I want to consider this morning, and let's read our main scripture, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6.
There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works it all in all.
Okay, diversities or various types. So let's lay a foundation. Let's think firstly about the focus of concert ministry. So first we need to understand how this ministry came about. The concert ministry goes back to, in our fellowship, to 1970. There's two young couples that had gotten saved, and they began to talk with Pastor Mitchell and relay to him how much young people were very interested in music. And these couples began to relay to Pastor Mitchell, I bet if we advertised a concert, young people would come. So this was an entirely new idea. You have to understand, Pastor Mitchell, his whole reference and foundation before CFM was Foursquare as a movement, another denomination. And the means of getting young people in Foursquare was you reach the kids, and if the kids want to come to church, then the parents will want to come to church. And so he saw that didn't work. And so now here's some people, young people would respond to music, and by young people, youth, teenagers, young adults, young couples, young maybe even families. And so hearing that, it provoked his thinking, but he didn't act immediately on it. Later on in ministry, Pastor Mitchell went down to a revival in Cottonwood, Arizona. And as he's there at this revival, he said the pastor of the church there was talking to Pastor Mitchell, and he began to tell him about these, what they were called, Jesus People concerts. This was all happening in Southern California. And so hearing that young people were interested in the gospel, young people were running these concerts, young people were running evangelism events, coffee houses, baptizing at the beaches, all these different things, he decided to go and look for himself. So he left with two young disciples with him, and when they went to Southern California, they began to see exactly what they heard. It was young people that were excited for Jesus. Pastor Mitchell said, the only young people I ever saw in church were church kids that were devils, right? They had no interest in the things of God. They were interested in ripping people off and living selfishly. For him to see young people, youth, excited for Jesus, this stood out to him. The second thing that stood out was that they were playing music. Music was a vein of just an opportunity that they could work through to draw people in. He saw them worshiping God. And again, some in the open air, on the beaches, at various public places, parks, but others in these coffee house settings. The Christian coffee house was a big part of the Jesus People movement. And so here, as Pastor Mitchell, he had never seen anything like this. And so upon returning to Prescott with his disciples as an experiment, they rented the Boys Club in Prescott. Pastor Mitchell and Pastor Greg would even tell you they passed out hand-drawn flyers. This was their advertisement, hand-drawn, photocopied. They got the Boys Club. They evangelized for it. They had three guys that came to play guitars. Two of them weren't even saved. Right? And so here they come to this club, had hundreds of visitors and over 70 saved. That set into motion. That was like the base of what we see today. Right? Again, 180, this concert venue, 40 plus years it's been functioning in Prescott. There's not a season or a period of time that I'm aware of that it ever stopped. And so here is this thing, and this is what set it in motion. So the first concert ministry rationale that we need to understand is this. Concerts are all about reaching sinners. The concert ministry, it's evangelical in its roots and in its nature. That's where it started. That was the whole premise. And so that's what's happening today. We create a venue wherever we're at. Think about this. Think about how many 180s are around the world, or whatever Prescott titles it at the time, right? The Door, it was everywhere. The Underground, it was everywhere. The Arena, it was everywhere. 180, now there's 180s everywhere. So think about this. We create a venue to attract sinners. And so why? It's because it's an opportunity. Right? We have this concert, we have this multimedia presentation, we have these different things at work. And so this appeals to sinners. Because for many sinners, church has a negative connotation. But you tell them, I want to invite you to a concert, there's music, there's sketch dramas, there's videos, etc. That could be interesting. That might be more comfortable. We know the gospel's going to be presented. So we must reestablish this in our concert. This is the first thing we need to recognize. What is our focus? What is our aim? What is our vision when it comes to this ministry? It is sinners, evangelism. If we lose that focus, if we lose that vision, then we've lost the purpose of the concert. we've lost the entire purpose of what we're doing. Because that is what it's about, right? So, the concert is not entertainment for Christians or for the church, right? I've been to concerts in other churches, and you know, you hear people how they talk about it. Well, it's boring. You know what? It's so unprofessional. Well, it's not for you. It's for sinners, right? Others, they make the concert an insider's club, right? Where everybody has their own language in there. Their dramas are filled with inside jokes. I remember in Rochester, began to teach these to the disciples, and you know, I had a guy who was in drama years and years ago, and he's like, I remember we had this drama, and people loved it. And he's explaining it, and I'm like, and what was the point? Like, was that something that the world would? No, just like the church people, they would always laugh. And I said, well, I don't think you should revive that, right? Let's leave that in the past, because that's inside. Insider jokes, inside language. No, the concert is for sinners to hear the gospel. Right? Pastor Mitchell really, over the years, wasn't into any of the music in the concert. Right? And he'll let you know. Right? He used to call me the angry musician. He's an angry musician. And he makes bad music. He'll let you know. But you know what he was into was souls. And because he was into souls, he facilitated this atmosphere for souls to be reached. And so that's the whole reason this ministry began. And it is the reason this ministry continues. Okay? That is why we do it. You need to lock that in your mind. When you think about 180, if you're involved in a drama team, if you're involved in a band, if you're involved in lights or video, if you're involved in sound, whatever part, if you're involved in refreshments, your mind must be convert-oriented. You must be focused on the sinner. And that's going to change how you minister. That's going to change how you approach the night. Just an illustration here, the 2020 Grammys, they happened in January. And some of the data shows that this event drew 16.5 million viewers. 2019, it drew 17.5 million viewers. The point is, that is a lot of people. Setting aside hours of TV, that's all about music. This is a worthy ministry. This ministry is still relevant. This ministry can still draw in 2020. But your focus must be the sinner, conversions, contending for that. So let's think secondly about the unseen benefits of a concert ministry. So that's the foundation. That's how it started. That's still our focus. That's still our purpose. But then there's other factors here. Number one is the involvement factor. This is a crucial factor. When people get involved in ministry, it contributes to the health of the church. So verses 4-6 of our text, it speaks of diversities of gifts, diversities of ministries and activities. All of that are means of involvement, right? There's people involved in the work of God. So, the concert ministry, when people get involved, and when your focus is on the sinner, what happens is the person that's involved, whether that's drama, music, refreshments, fill in the blank, now their focus is outside of themselves, right? Now their focus is on the lost, it's on souls, it's on conversions and contending for visitors and all those factors. So what that does is it gives people a sense of ownership. Right? There's a lot of people in our churches, all across our churches. They're never probably going to preach. They may never hold a microphone, but and at a conference, but they get to be involved in their local church and in their local area, and they begin to have a part in what is happening in their congregation. Right, today there's going to be a report on 180, but the person giving the report, there's a lot of people that were involved and had part in what happened. Right? And that's what this helps people get involved. It gives them ownership. Then thirdly in this is that idea of involvement factor is that personal dominion is gained. Right? You gain personal dominion through your personal involvement. Let's read Deuteronomy 11:24.
Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours, from the wilderness of Lebanon to the river of Euphrates, even to the western sea, shall be your territory.
Okay, every place where you set your foot will be yours. So, when you become active, you become involved in the concert ministry, right? You have a sense of ownership, you have part in what's happening in the night, in the evangelism of the local body, but then you learn how to contend for spiritual growth. You learn how to contend for development, for dominion in your congregation. Again, the Prescott Church has done this ministry for many, many years, decades, and it's not uncommon that you'll have, right, just more than at times in the seasons, 100 people that are personally involved. When you add up all the bands, when you add up those involved in drama, lights, video refreshments, nursery, right? All the different factors. You get this group of people together and they become part of it. They have expression in what God is doing. And the great thing is, like I said, there's some, they may never preach a sermon, right? But at a pulpit, but there's people, they've given years to this ministry, right? We have people that have been involved in 180 for years. Louis Polino, Scotty and Laura Flitcroft. I mean, they've been in this for years, part of this, playing side by side, and they've had a rotation of members through the years. But the point is, they've had an expression all these years by being involved in this ministry. Secondly, there's the spiritual temperature factor. Think about this. We require those involved to embrace a higher spiritual standard, right? And again, I said this last week, I don't know where it came from that we don't do standards here anymore. That is not true. That is absolutely not true. And we are going to make sure that people sign a vow of exampleship when they get involved, right? Because this is absolutely important. When people sign those vows of exampleship, what they're saying is, I'm going to abstain from certain things, right? You have Daniel, I'm abstaining in the book of Daniel. I'm not going to take the meat that is offered to idols. I'm not going to do that. In other words, I'm not going to feed my flesh. And when people make that decision, it does something in them, first of all, but what's happening in them is going to bleed into the church. What's happening in them is going to bleed into the concert. And so here, when people sign that, they are saying, I'm abstaining from the flesh. I'm going to tell you, I have number one, seen the concert where there's not a higher standard, where there are no standards of ministry or a vow of exampleship. I'm going to tell you, it lacks anointing. It might be talented. It might be professional. But there's not a drop of anointing on the night. I personally have been the carnal Christian. I personally have been the band member riding the line on standards. I'm going to tell you, I was absolutely not effective. Our band was not effective. But I've also been on the other side, been a band and involved in ministry while living right, and the difference it made. Souls saved and impacted. This is why we do this. It changes the spiritual temperature of the night and those involved. Then connected to that is a higher standard of commitment, right? When you are involved, not only are you going to abstain from certain things, but we require a commitment, right? I'm going to be faithful to church. I'm going to be faithful to Sunday school. I'm going to be faithful to support 180. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to commit to this, right? We're not interested in people that don't want to come to church, but the moment there's a microphone available, hey, count me in. No, this is a commitment issue here. And so then what happens, see, is through the concert ministry, people can get involved, right? But as they get involved and they live out these vows of exampleship, what you have is a large segment of the congregation that is doing this, right? And think about it, the more that are doing this right, the more that are doing this well, living right, living clean, abstaining from the flesh, contending for dominion, committed, it changes the spiritual temperature of the church. It changes the atmosphere of the church. Right? And so here, this is something observable. I remember when we were up in Rochester, we had invited and had even gone to, even at times, the churches under Pastor Mike Webb. Pastor Mike Webb is in Toronto, Canada. And he had another guy out, Pastor Gary Rodney. And I want to tell you, these two churches were very, it was inspirational, you could say, for our new concert ministry. Because they were into it, right? And they were good at what they did, but then it was anointed because everyone is part of this. Everyone is active in this. The atmosphere is souls, right? The vision is conversions. And then when people would come into that environment and get saved, and they see all these people involved, you know what the convert thinks? That's normal. You know what the convert thinks? I want to be part of that. Man, they're amped for this. They're excited about this. They're into what they're doing. And we saw this in Santa Fe. I was just thinking this morning. We would do our haunted houses, and we had a couple get saved in the haunted house in Santa Fe. And the following year, as it was coming, they're like, are you doing a haunted house again? Yeah, absolutely. No, we got saved last year. We want to be in it this year. What do we have to do to be in it? Right? And they're into it, man. We had people in Rochester. It was something that, you know, whether it was the haunted houses or our concerts, people wanted to be part of it. Right? And that's good. You want people part of it because of these factors. It will change the spiritual temperature of the church. Thirdly is development of character. Involvement in ministry forces us to interact with people maybe we don't like. That's good. That's healthy for you. Right? It's this ministry is the sandpaper of salvation. Right? It brings character to light. When things aren't going your way, or when people are difficult, right? So here, now working with difficult people, it smooths those rough edges in you and in them, right? So the common mistake is that people, right, they get in ministry and there's conflict or there's problems, so they say, I want to quit. Why? Because this person. I want to quit because that person. I'm not interested because they said, you know, they didn't. Well, I think that's a bad idea, and I think this is actually good for you. Right? It's going to help you to learn how to work with difficult people. It's going to teach you how to people skills and how to get people on your side. I personally learned some valuable lessons from the concert ministry that I still use today. As a band leader, and our band you know, doing, we used to do a lot of these, we just called them rock dramas, or whatever. I don't know how that came about or where that came from, but we called it a rock drama. And sometimes those were stressful, right? Yeah, and sometimes people like me, when I ran a band, band practice is an hour long, right? Hour and 15, you should be able to get a lot done. Sometimes you mesh with people, right? And they want to do something, it's like, we've been here 3 hours. Yo, I'm out. Like this, we're done, right? But you know, it's good because you got to work at it. You've got to keep your pride under control. You've got to keep your mouth under control, right? All of that's good. It teaches you those things. And so here, I still use things today. Secondly is we learn to overturn our own flesh, right? In this development of character. We learn how to put aside maybe our personal preferences for the greater good. And that's that what is that? Humility. That's humility. And that's a good character lesson. Then characters develop because this ministry requires work. All right? I want you to understand, if you, as a band, you want to sound good, it's going to take work. Right? Dramas, you want them to be good, it's going to take work. Sound, you want the sound to sound good, if you're a sound man, it's going to take work. Lights, it's going to take, all of this is going to take work. We work to be effective, we're going to have to work to stay relevant, we're going to have to work for new material. You know what? That's good character development. Then there's the development of disciples. Pastor Mitchell has often said discipleship is impartation of spirit, right? That's part of it. You catch who your pastor is. But it's also personal involvement in ministry, right? And it's here is this active reality of a spiritual dimension and being able to see that work, being able to see that play out as you're getting involved in things, the concert ministry facilitates. So, think about this. Disciples get a regular chance to practice preaching. They learn what works, they learn what doesn't work. When they preach, they can get feedback and instruction. Right? Like I said, before I got launched into Santa Fe, New Mexico, when I took it over, it's 33 years old. Right? They had a Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It's normal. I've never preached a formal sermon before that. But I preached altar calls. And I learned how to preach by preaching altar calls. The fundamentals of altar call preaching I carried into preaching. Right? So then there's organization skills, right? This is part of developing disciples. They have to learn how to organize. Things don't just happen. You have to plan and strategize. Then there's the spiritual edge that's developed. You get a sensitivity, right, for what God is doing. There's been times where, as a disciple, I pulled an altar call early. Why? Because there was a ton of visitors. There was an anointing, and it's like, I need to do this now. You develop that sensitivity, right? Sometimes it's, like I said, you work and you prepare an altar call. I think I mentioned that last week. You got to prepare your altar call. But there have been times I've prepared, I've practiced, I've prayed over an altar call, but then God's doing something in the night and it's like, I'm scrapping that because this is what God is saying tonight. This is what God is doing tonight, and I preach something, you know, inspired of God in that moment. But here you develop that spiritual sensitivity. Then you learn also how much you need God. Right? Like I said, there might be things not happening. There might be a lack of anointing. There might be a lack of visitors and people getting saved. So what are you going to do about it? Right? I remember Pastor Greg often would tell us that as disciples. So what are you going to do about it? So see, there's something powerful about having to hammer away, right, in the trenches to make something productive. to make something that's going to produce the results you're looking for. And I want to tell you, that is a picture of pioneering. When you're out there, I'm telling you, the concert ministry will be a reference. There are so many things in the concert ministry that I reference today. When it's week after week that you're working through, barrenness, right? When it's week after week where it seems like there's conflict. Something I always bind and rebuke is discord in whatever we're doing. It's conflict will kill the spirit, right, of God moving. Unity brings anointing. Right? So you got to work through that. You got to work through boredom, right? People get bored in the concert. Oh, I heard this band last week. Oh, we've seen this before. You got to work through that and hammer away. Get through the dry spells, etc. So it's important to note that concert ministry, with this idea of discipleship, has always been run by disciples. I want you to understand and just catch Pastor Gray. Pastor Gray could preach an altar call better than any of us. But he lets disciples do that. Right? A pastor, depending, right? But there's some pastors, man, they're very talented. They are very talented men. They could do a better light system. They could do a better sound system. They could produce better music. But that's not what it's about. It's about disciples, right? Learning all these things we're talking about. If a pastor runs it, guess what? The disciples lose the learning experience. They lose that. And again, man, you get this so often in pastoring, doing this in Santa Fe, doing this in Rochester. Did you see and did you notice in it? Yeah, I did. So talk to the guy who ran the night, right? Because you've got to give them that opportunity. The term door director, right? That term, where does that come from? The door. That was the name of the concert scene. The door. So who's the director of the door? That's the door director, right? That's where we got, and it just stuck. We didn't call it the arena director, the underground director, the 180 director. Now we've kind of transitioned into concert director. I call it project management because they're managing everything, right? And so that's a lot. It's a lot of details. But the point is this, is that the main disciple slotted for pastoring leads that ministry. I remember as a concert director, I was leading every detail of Prescott's 180. I'd ask Pastor Greg, I don't know, you work it out. What do you think about it? I don't know, you figure it out. You know what? But I learned some lessons that helped me for pastoring. And this will greatly help you. Lastly is the aspiration factor. This ministry, the concert ministry, causes young people, maybe church kids, and new people, new converts, to aspire for ministry. See, when you do these things I've already talked about well, and the atmosphere is conversions, right? Pastor Mitchell has always said, life begets life. You know when ministry really sucks? Is when you have no fruit. Any ministry. Pastoring, concert ministry. I remember Pastor Payne saying, someone asked him the question, is pastoring hard? And he said, I've never been asked that question. And he said, I thought it over and I answered, I said, no, pastoring isn't hard. Barrenness is hard. Barrenness, and that, so here, when you cultivate this atmosphere and people are excited, people are getting saved, then youth want to get involved. Youth want to be part of what God is doing. New converts want to get involved instead of aspiring for what they see on TV, what they're seeing on movies, what they're seeing in music videos. right? It's here. They get a visual and they say, I want to be part of it. In Rochester, we had two youth bands, ages 12 to 14. But these kids were talented. That's the thing. I had heard Pastor Heinberg and the revival he had among youth. So I asked him, how did you cultivate all of that? He said, well, number one, I did not allow the cute factor. They weren't going to get up there just because they looked cute. Hey, look at little kids playing instruments. They had to be good. And so, yeah, I took that and I challenged these youth. And man, they practiced many times more than the adult bands, right? And they created some music that sounded really good. It was quality. And you know what? It drew, because those youth could say to their middle school friends, to their high school friends, come check out my band. This, that. And man, we would get visitors in. That's what it's about, right? You want them excited and inspired. The youth got involved in drama. They got involved in lights. They got involved in sound. It was active. It was happening. And it's still happening. Me personally, I learned instruments, the instruments I know, because of the concert ministry. Every Saturday, I'm there, I'm watching, and I'm interested. My parents don't play. My dad had a guitar my whole life. He played three progressions, right? They don't really play music. They're not very musically inclined. But the concert ministry facilitated an atmosphere. We got involved. And then new converts, like I said already, new converts want to be part of it. So let's close. Let's think about the concert ministry and you. Let's read 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6.
There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all.
Okay, so now I want you to see this scripture in the context of the concert. Diversity of gifts. Differences of ministry, diversities of activities, but it's all about God working through whatever you're doing for souls. So, what an incredible opportunity that every believer and disciple can find a place where they can be useful and do it with excellence and approach it with diligence. And invest their time and their talent into it. Right? There's this avenue for your life to be used, to have an expression in your church, and to be part of what God is doing. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10.
As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
Okay, whatever gift you have, use it to serve others. That's ministry. That's what it means, service. So if you'll do that, and we'll take this, and every piece of that, I can tell you, it's going to change the atmosphere of the concert. It's going to change the atmosphere of the church. And so this is the concert ministry rationale. Okay, a lot of information, a lot of details there, but let's open it up for some questions. Yep, David.
This kind of goes back to standards. I've noticed personally in my own life, it's very easy to become legalistic.
Yep.
About the vow of discipleship. Like, for me, I have no TV, but you spend hours of your time, you all carry around access to television or whatever.
Yep.
Via the internet. And so, how do you sort of balance ministry standards and obviously taking the spirit of the law and not just the letter of the law into account?
Yeah.
With the vow of exampleship, and that's just one example. Another example for me personally, when I was in non-public ministry, meaning I was just doing things in the background, like 3 years after I got saved, I was smoking cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it was like, very, potential for crippling the spirit in the ministry and stuff. And so, and that's actually what sparked my acquaintance was that this is potentially crippling souls getting saved. How do we balance taking taking it to a legalistic and like religious Pharisee kind of degree.
For sure, yeah. Well, and I think that's the wisdom of what Pastor Mitchell has done with the vows of exampleship and Pastor Greg. If you look at the list, what is it, like six things on the list right now? Six things. What you have to understand about the vow of exampleship is that it's a basis, a foundation for you to develop your own convictions, right? So when you have that in place, people sign it, as they begin to live clean, there's going to be a lot of other things, right? We don't have in the vows of exampleship, I will not gossip about the other bands, right? Right? But the point is, right, when you begin to live clean and you begin to see, God gets to work, right? And God deals with you about things. You know, I like I said, I was the carnal Christian. I did that thing. It doesn't work. You're not effective, right? Yeah, you might get some applause, but that is your reward, right? When Jesus says they will have their reward, we got our reward. It was applause, but we did not get the kingdom treasures. We had no effectiveness. We had no anointing. We weren't changing. Right? It was all about our pride and our ego. That, and it didn't work. Right? In fact, we were called nailed and two band members got nailed. Right? It did not work. Right? But later, like I said, is when I took those vows of exampleship and I made them my own, I took ownership of them. Not, I'm going to do it because this is what I have to do. No, I'm going to take ownership of this. My salvation changed. Right? And so, how do we balance that then? Like you said, you functioned for 3 years when you first got saved in background ministry, right? Not public. So, like I said last week, you have people that are going to be spiritual infants, right? Spiritual infants, they're just going to make noise, right? they need help. They're not going to be helping anyone. So, there's room for that, right? Then you have people, though, who are living right, who are living clean, and they're going to pull the night with you. And so that's why I'm saying here, too, is if this group of men will do right, it'll shift absolutely, right? And then you expand it to your spouses, right? And you expand it to your circle of friends, right? It just gets bigger and wider, and actually, you're developing a dominion. You're tearing down strongholds, whatever might be resisting. So it's a foundation. You develop your own convictions. And there's wisdom in that, definitely. Because that's what some people want, don't they? A list. That will, but they check and they didn't, and well, then they don't get it. And neither do you. Right? So it's for you to develop your own convictions. Yes, David?
So one of the biggest frustrations is when you work your butt off, but you still receive, but you're saved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely. Sometimes there is a diagnosis, right? You know, it's...
You mean like when you have the basics are covered? You know?
Right. Yeah, the basics might be covered. But yeah, sometimes is it immorality, right? The Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So someone into pornography, someone fornicating, you know, you kind of look at it, those types of things. Other times there's been, you know, times I've called Pastor Greg, and I remember one in particular. We'd been in Rochester like a year and a half, and every 6 months, our new converts would die. Like they would get right there, man, involved, and then they would die. And it was like every 6 months, 10 new, right? Those 10 would disappear. 2 weeks later, we have 10 new ones, right? And the same process. And I called and I said, Pastor, I've been fasting. I'm vexed. I don't know what is going on. I've gone through all what it could be, you know, I'm laying hands on the church and my disciples are praying with me on and on. And he said, I said, what should I do? He said, yeah, I don't know. And I was like, he said, you just need to talk to God. And so I was like, well, I have been, but all right. And I just got so vexed in my spirit. I said, this is enough. Absolutely not. And I'll tell you, that final year, we saw growth in the church, and we had solid converts. Make it the year. Right here we are coming out. I'm a year older, so they've hit their two-year mark now. Still active, involved, you know, absolutely a blessing. So sometimes it's just getting a hold of God. Like I said, so we need God in this. It's not a program. We'll do our part with excellence, but ultimately we need God. Yep, Matt.
Just kind of trying to bring some balance. I wasn't really raised in this church, discipled originally somewhere else. But we kind of had a mantra, if you don't participate, you don't perform. If you don't pray, you don't play. And there's times where, like, as I'm involved in things, I really have to check my heart so I'm not getting ticked off with people because they show up and plug in and perform and then they leave.
Yeah.
But there isn't that, like, what I saw. So is there a balance to that? Is it something that I need to draw back on, like, hey, chill out? Or
well,
is there a little bit more that actually needs to happen on that level?
Yeah, I mean, of course, is like, this comes back to a little bit of David's question is, how do you not become legalistic, right? And so one of the great things Pastor Greg has taught us is inspire people. Tell them what the potential could be. So I, you know, I absolutely agree that if you don't pray before you're about to minister, then you're going to lack, right? And obviously the prayer meeting before 180 isn't the time where we're like, God, please, oh, we're desperate before you, Lord. You need to be praying throughout the week. You need to be getting a hold of God, right? It's not like, oh, I got to minister tonight, so I better live clean, you know, today. No, this is life, right? You've got to live this. So, keeping a balance is maybe how you deal with it, how you approach it, right? Is it a long-term saint? They know, right? They understand. They have. Then, you know, hey, I need you to help me. You are a great example to this group of people. And when they don't see you there, right, then they think they don't need to be there, right? Instead of like, hey, you've been here forever, man. What the heck? What are you doing, huh? Right? That's not going to help. And then giving people the potential. All of what I talked about is the potential. Right? If people will take this on and see the vision of it, it's the potential. Right? I had people in the area in the Northeast. There's tons of churches that did not do concerts. They had not done a concert in Rochester in some 12 years. Why? Because they don't work. Because it's a waste of time. Because it's not good anyway. Yeah, but you missed all of this, right? So this is the potential. And I'll tell you, it changed the church. It changed the atmosphere. And so how you approach those things, I think, is really the more important part. You want to inspire people. I remember being in a band, and I remember a concert director. Things were not going good. And first of all, he pulled me aside, and he said, you know what? Your band is not praying, right? I see you fooling around. Next time I see that, you're not going to play for a month. You know how I responded? Whatever. Right? Shortly after he had a meeting, people are not doing what they need to be doing. I'm telling you, these are the rules. I want you to understand. I'm telling you, people left ministry. Some months later, he had another meeting. And it was all about the potential. I appreciate you guys, but I'm going to tell you what this ministry could be. What God wants to do through it. And you know what? That meeting, I said, I'm going to get behind him. I'm going to help him. Sometimes it's just how you approach it. And so that's, you right? You can draw them. You'll draw more flies with honey than vinegar. So sometimes that is the case. And it's not that you're changing your stand, but how you approach it. You want to inspire people. Inspired people, they stay committed. People motivated by guilt, by fear, or by pressure, eventually those things will give up, and they won't have a heart for it. So, good. Any other questions? Yeah, Casey.
So, how do we get successful and fruitful by getting people to the 180?
Yeah. So, the concert ministry often, and in really a lot of our churches and cities, the success of it is from the church inviting people, right, from their jobs, from school, fill in the blank, right? They invite them. They have a relationship already with them, and they invite them. So the problem, though, is if the concert ministry isn't happening, like it's not anointed, it's not effective, people bring someone and it's all inside jokes and it's all, you know, Christianese language and there's no anointing, they don't respond. Guess what? People aren't going to be into bringing. But when it is happening, all these factors I talked about are at work, and there's an energy. And when I talk about that, I'm talking about a supernatural dimension. People are more willing to bring people, right? We in Rochester got the concerts to a point where people didn't want to miss it. They didn't want to miss it, and they wanted to bring people. And so when you keep a freshness, and this happens through the Holy Ghost, then yeah, you'll begin to see people. And not only that, God will draw people, right? I was door director in our current building, and God drew people. I understand there's been changes in the city, and I understand it is a little more difficult, right? I think the earlier time is helping, but there is a supernatural factor where people would get a flyer and they'll come up. They'll come up, they'll make the investment. And I've seen personally people get saved, but that's a dominion issue as well, Casey. It's a dominion issue that people would come in and stay. I used to lay hands on the doors. God, the more they pass through these doors, they'll be compelled to stay. And that's something God absolutely honored. So yeah, it's contending sometimes as well. Very good. Yeah, Nick.
I know in the past, like this, but we laughed about it, like gossiping about other bands. If I'm being honest, like I've definitely been in the past part of kind of like a crew that's like my band's pretty good. But like,
yeah.
What are these guys doing? And yet, if you look at the pattern of my life, like I didn't stick around, mm-hmm. so obviously I was not affected.
Mm-hmm.
Acting that way and
yep.
other ways in my life too. But at the same time, there is some truth, I think, at times where it's like, this band's not as effective as this band.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And that's not about, I realize this now, like, that it's not about, you know, that guy can play drums longer than that guy or guitar will.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about, like you said, an anointing.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, an effectiveness. But when it comes to, like if you want, like, for me now, I want to be, if a band is lacking in some way, or if a band is, you know, there's always that band where you're like, oh, they're playing like they could maybe use some help.
Yeah.
Like, is that just like a prayer thing, like a contending thing? Like, because sometimes, you know, like the flow of the night, you know, we talk about that, or sometimes
yep.
You want to invite people, you want to like have people come out, not necessarily just to see, you know, my band or whatever, to see.
Yep.
Thing in general, but maybe you hear what the lineup's going to be, or you hear like what, you know, and you're like, oh, like,
yeah,
that's, you know, I'm just being like,
for sure.
being real,
yeah,
not
so,
trying to be insulting. It's just like, I don't want to, me personally,
right.
I don't want to be talking bad or be like, oh, I would invite you guys, but maybe next week, like,
yeah.
you know, I want it to be like a solid thing.
Yeah.
Like, this is good and there, you know what I mean?
Yep, yeah. Absolutely. So I would, if I were you, you know, number one is pray. And we're going to talk about concert prayer targets. And pray for bands to be inspired. Pray that bands would be, have a heart to be relevant, right? There's some people, no, this is the music I like. Well, that's fine. You like that. Have a set with the music you like. Have a set with other music other people like, right? So you have a variety. Keep an ear. And so I would say number one is pray for people. Number two, you have to earn a voice. Okay, there are some incredibly talented people, maybe in the church, right? I pastored a guy who, and I'll try to make this quick. I pastored a guy who he stopped being involved in church. Extremely talented, absolutely talented, professional quality. Type of a musician, but he stopped being involved at 19 years old. He never left church, but he became quite the critic of church. And I'm gonna tell you what, man, people people had stopped actually ministering. Like, you know, we have special music because of his criticism, his family's criticism that he would spew, you know. And you know, it was one of those things, man, like, you could feel it, right? And his opinion, because he was talented and because he was very charismatic and well with his words, you know, that isn't that a bummer, right? Critical people, they seem to have all the words and charisma, and it's like, you hate it. But he would tell me things, and finally I told him, I said, I understand what you're saying, and I can appreciate where you're coming from, but I want you to understand, you do not have a voice with me. You're critical, but you're not saved, you're carnal, right? Your whole approach is worldly, right? He had a secular band, and he wanted to, you know, be a rock star, and it's like, to me, if I look at you from a worldly perspective, you're a washout, right? Your word means nothing right now. You know what? I took the time to work with him, to get on his level. And, you know, he wanted to help coach. You know, he's an incredible teacher as well. So talented, but could break down music to such an understanding, bite size. And so anyway, he wanted to help, but I put strict stipulations on him. I would not allow him to have a public platform in any way, right? And there was all these different things. And so the cool thing, though, is, like I talked to you, Matt, is I won him over, and I won a voice into his life. And as he began to change and let God help him, I'll tell you, he one day approached me, and a lot had changed, man. He had grown. He said, I'd like to run a play. What are your thoughts? And I said, absolutely. And he told me later, he said, I thought you were going to tell me no. And I was okay with that. But when you told me yes, I couldn't believe you were willing to take a chance on me. And this is, we're talking 4 years later, okay? This is a long process. But I'm going to tell you, he became such an incredible blessing to our concert venue. And he earned a voice. He earned a voice with people. You got to give yourself time to earn a voice. We're talking now from that four-year period to a year later. He's earned a voice because now he's faithful, right? So give yourself time to be faithful. You've got talent, you've got ability, but like you said, it's been just a little bit of a roller coaster. So give yourself time to earn a voice. Very good. All right, guys, that's very good questions, and we'll continue next week. It's about all we have time for this morning.